Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome to another hour dedicated to inquiry, reflection, questions, possibilities, and more, all in our effort to understand exactly what enlightenment means and what it is to be enlightened. Indeed, an hour dedicated to learning something more about ourselves, an hour designed to help us integrate all of our knowledge and perhaps even challenge some of those old ideas about the world we live in and the people we have become. This is an hour where we strive to evaluate knowing, knowledge, as inseparable from the total experience of reality. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room opens the moment our show goes live, so you can join my partner, Ravinder, there now. And we're glad to have you back, Rav. Andrea did an excellent job in your absence, filling in for the both of you. But everyone in the chat room was clamoring for your return. So you see, you are missed. Indeed, one listener wrote, quote, "I hope Ravinder is enjoying her return to school, but it will be nice to hear her sweet voice again on the show when she gets back," close quote. What do you have to say about that? And what's a good word for your roomies today, Rav?
Well, thank you. That is wonderful. It is really good to be back. I have missed everyone, especially my chat room roomies. Do come and talk to me in the chat room. Remember, that is eldontaylor.com/chat. So that's eldontaylor.com/chat. Come in, just say hello. You know, you can observe the rest of the conversation. You don't have to participate if you don't want to, but please join us.
Okay, now that's /chat, remember?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you have a double role today because you're going to be joining me in our conversation with our guest. Are you up to that?
I better be.
Have you adjusted the time differences, et cetera?
Just about. That 3-hour difference can be a bit of a killer, especially when you have flight issues like I had.
Okay. Well, we'll forgive you if you drop the ball a little bit, you know, but not too much, all right?
Okie dokie.
All right, every week I read a few of your letters as our way of paying respect to the importance you play in helping us to shape and improve our show. Last week our guest was Dr. Julie Beischel, co-founder and director of research at the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. We discussed some of the research they have underway, including data already compiled on the accuracy of mediums. Dr. Beischel was emphatic that the hard data shows clearly that something is going on. That is, the mediums are getting valid information beyond that of chance from somewhere. Further, she informed us of 3 different types of research protocols in use at the Institute. They are proof-focused research, process-focused research, and applied-focused research. Now, we discussed the first two, but we ran out of time before we were able to get to the latter. So, in brief, applied-focused research considers the very practical applications of mediumship, or parapsychology in general for that matter. One such use of, say, mediumship could be in a hospice facility where the grief of surviving loved ones might be assuaged some as a result of messages from the other side. We also spoke about some of the so-called skeptics and concluded, based on the evidence, that they weren't skeptics at all. Rather, they were deniers. I like that word. They just simply deny without an eye to the evidence or even the faintest effort at investigation. From our chat room, a guest wrote this about the deniers, quote, "They are affecting the world around me. I care about that. It is more pervasive than just this subject. What I care about is that these people block the promulgation of ideas of learning. Science is not a noun. It is a verb." Very well said indeed. Richard wrote, quote, "I love, love, love Eldon's evidentiary approach. It's a scientific method of reasoning, not science. What comes out of that is knowledge. Again, not science. There is no science or non-science. There is truth or falsity." Well, now that's very well stated, Richard. Sue wrote, "I really enjoyed the show this week. Dr. Beischel was a very interesting person and personified to me what a scientist should be. Starting from an open-minded position in search of the truth, rather than having already made up her mind and setting out to prove what she has already decided, as so often seems to happen in the so-called objective world of science. The Winbridge Institute seems to be working on some much-needed research, But when you hear that there are so many so-called intelligent people still in denial, despite the rigorous testing protocol, you wonder if the results of such research will ever be accepted. It is of great interest to those of us intent upon keeping our minds open. However, and that probably includes most of the regular listeners of Provocative Enlightenment. Close quote. Well, thanks for the feedback, Sue. And I agree with your perspective. Evely wrote, surely not all mediums are getting valid information, and how do you tell who is and who isn't? There's a lot of scary things being said out there. Who to believe? You know, that was precisely one of my questions, Evely, and I'm afraid the answer was not at all reassuring. Even when the medium has an overall hit ratio that is higher than chance, there is no research breaking down that ratio into its significance levels. So you might have 7 out of 10 positives on less significant information and 4 out of 10 on more significant bits. And still, in total, that's 11 out of 20 and therefore higher than chance. The data can be somewhat deceiving when you look at it this way. And with some types of information, that's simply unacceptable. Thanks for the feedback, Evely. Paul wrote, I wish every host questioned their guest as you do, Eldon. It not only lends credibility to the show, but it provides a real grasp of the variety of subjects you cover. I listen every week, even if I have to catch the show in the archives, because it's like going to school, only the curriculum is all about what really matters in life, who we are, what we are capable of, and why we are here. Thank you for your show. Well, thank you for the feedback, Paul, and we'll do what we can so as not to disappoint everyone's very best. Karen wrote, I love Eldon's talk show on Hay House, and I've just ordered a couple of his books from Amazon. Can't wait to get started. One wish, Audible books would be great. I work from home and listen to books while working. Well, we're working on that one now, Karen. Thanks for your feedback and support. Svetlana wrote, and I hope I'm saying that right, Know thyself is a journey. I cannot function in a happy way in my daily life without some form of self-reflection or contemplation or meditation. I love Eldon Taylor's work because he is reminding us about our unoriginal thought patterns and beliefs, and self-reflection helps us to unveil our unoriginal thoughts. Thank you, Eldon. Well, thank you very much, Svetlana. Unoriginal thoughts. I suppose, you know, I mean, when you really think about it, my favorite question for a long time has been, what was your last original, truly original thought? So I like that. Elaine wrote, Eldon's provocative enlightenment is a highlight of my week. You should go on to his chat room like I do, and now my sister too, during the show. We all have such a party, listening to the show and commenting back and forth. Okay, thanks, Elaine. Now, Ravinder, I mean, here it is again, your chat room.
We have a wonderful chat room. What can I say? You have to come in and experience it for yourself. So that's eldontaylor.com/chat. Just come in. Jump in, say hello, and then enjoy.
Well, you know, you do have a lot of great conversation in the chat room.
We
but
do.
You should remind everybody that even if they catch the show in the archive, the chat room is up during, well, the chat room is available during the week that the show is rebroadcast, and they can join into the chat room at a later point in time. Even if they can't participate, they can see what went on, some of the conversation. You have a lot of professionals that come in there, and they do contribute.
Yeah, and that there are questions that come up, and everyone, you know, contributes fabulous answers to that. So there are additional problems or opportunities that get solved in the process.
Yeah, but I'm jealous. I can't be in the chat room and here online at the same time, you know? I mean, okay. Diane wrote, regarding our free InterTalk programs, thank you for this opportunity. I pray it will bring some peace. Well, you're more than welcome, Diane, and our prayers are with you. For all of you, remember that we have several MP3 InterTalk programs that are yours for the downloading. They are the real deal, not samples of scientifically proven effective InterTalk technology that has been repeatedly demonstrated effective by numerous independent researchers at leading institutions such as Stanford. All you have to do to get yours is visit my website and use the left-hand navigation pane to find the link titled Free Programs. We think of it as all a part of our Pay It Forward effort. All right, Kathy wrote, I am a big fan of your work. I have many of your CDs and using them on a daily basis. Thank you for your work. Well, thank you, Kathy. And Carol wrote, I listen to Freedom from Stress every night on my computer. while in bed. It relaxes me as no other tape or CD has. Well, pleased to hear that, Carol. Manoush wrote, I tried to quit alcohol and found it very difficult. Until I listened to your Freedom from Alcohol CD, I started listening to the CD while sleeping, set a date to quit, and amazingly, I have had no need for my habitual end-of-the-day drinks to relax. No cravings. I have been free from alcohol for 3 weeks now, and suddenly my days have many more hours of life in them. Thank you. Well, Manoush, thank you. Congratulations, too. And Christina wrote, Hi, Dr. Taylor. I love your products and your radio show. I listen to your self-esteem and self-sabotage programs at night and thoroughly enjoy their effect on my life. I am the primary caregiver for a woman with severe frontal temporal dementia. Can you please address this issue or perhaps Alzheimer's on one of your shows? You and your guest always present such a well-rounded discussion. I would appreciate a session dedicated to the exploration of the loss of mind, personality, cerebral function, and subsequent loss of our identity. Where does the person go as they slip away into their own world? I have read a lot on the subject of dementia and its origin, treatment, etc., but I do not always trust what is put out there for the layperson to read. This is why I wanted to ask you. I trust you. Any insight you can provide on any of this would be greatly appreciated. Okay, well now, thank you very much for the letter, Christina. This is not the kind of subject we generally take on our show, but we will because you asked. I've reached out to my friend, Dr. John L. Turner, a neurosurgeon. His mother passed to this disease. So together we'll discuss both the medical, traditional and alternative, and the spiritual or metaphysical theories involved here. Unfortunately, our show is booked until December, so this one won't happen until after the first of the year, but we will fit it in as soon as we can. All right, that's all the time we're going to take for letters today, but I do invite you to opine by sending your email to eldon@eldontaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. You can also just leave comments on my website. I do try to read all of your letters. Obviously, we can't get them all to the air, but they do impact our programming. I highly value your input, your suggestions, your ideas. So once again, thank you. Now to today's show, Making the Impossible Possible, a Cinderella story, a true Cinderella story. Our guest today is a special young woman, the mother of two children, Samantha and Dylan. Today she is married to the man of her dreams, Cody, but only after gaining strength as a result of a background that we could just say includes unimaginable events. And you know, this is a young woman who truly has raised herself by her bootstraps. I look for a better metaphor, but I don't want to steal her story. As a young child, at the age of 5, she had a near-death experience, and she openly speaks of how she ended her own cycle of abuse. Today, she's a kinesiologist, motivational speaker, and much more, including her title as Mrs. Montana 2011. She is therefore a contestant in the Mrs. International pageant. Billed as a family affair, the international pageant system has been developed to promote today's married women, their accomplishments, and commitment to family and marriage. Around the world, women are finding this system to be the opportunity to work with their husband and family to become positive role models. Being the premier pageant for married women has given Mrs. International a chance to open doors for married women around the world. The Mrs. International 2011 competition will be held on July 22nd and 23rd at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts in Chicago, Illinois. I must tell you, before introducing our guest, that she wrote me a letter several months back. In the letter, she expressed some of her techniques for success and her gratitude for our own InterTalk technology and how she had successfully used it. I was impressed, very impressed, with both her candor and her accomplishments. So let's welcome to our show Kimberly Gingras. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Kimberly.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's indeed our...
I'm sorry, I have to say, I have to apologize in the beginning because I have been sick and actually lost my voice all last week. Yesterday it came back, but today I'm sound very nasally. So I apologize, but I'm here.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful that it came back just in time.
Yeah.
Let's begin by having you tell our audience a little bit about your background. Set the stage for us and what led to our meeting.
Well, first of all, you said a lot of it in my introduction, hitting it in a nutshell. Without too much detail, I came from a household of abuse, and I also wound up repeating that in a marriage, sort of marrying the person that exemplified the person that abused me, in a way. And emotionally and physically, I had to deal with this for 7 years, and it wasn't just myself, it was also my children. And in doing that, I was trying to leave. I tried 3 times to leave, and it just never panned out. I always wound up going back. And for, you know, the time being, I didn't understand why. Why did I keep going back? But now I understand it because I understand programming. This led to being in hiding for 3 months and with my children. And we were all diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and it took some time for me to break down completely to ground zero and to find who I was again, to find Kimberly, because I had lost her along the path. And in doing that, I was able to fall in love again, get remarried, become a kinesiologist, find answers for my son, who was diagnosed autistic at the same time we were in hiding. You know, with progress with my son, he was re-diagnosed to ADHD. It took me a year and a half to do. He was 7.5 years old when he was re-diagnosed. And I only had those tools to do that because we were dealing with programming as well as physical issues. So there was emotional aspects, there was physical aspects, and there was definitely spiritual aspects to the whole program for my son. And in helping him, I desired to become a kinesiologist, to be certified, and to help others. And that's what I did. And it was interesting because all walks of life were coming to me, but there was something about each one of them that was in my son, or there was something about myself and my own story that I related to them, and they had no idea that I could even fathom what they were going through until I shared my story with them. So in doing this, it made me have this strong desire to reach out and to help others, and I was trying to think, how can I do that? And it came to me very clearly that, of course, I needed to write my own book, but that's an elephant that, you know, you have to bite off one bite at a time. Right. And I thought, okay, well, I do want to do that, but right now, what can I do right this second that would just reach the masses? And I had no clue. And one day, I stepped out of the shower on a Saturday morning, and foggy mirror, mascara running down my face, this voice came to me and said, you're going to be in the next Mrs. Utah pageant. So that was my first pageant, and I looked in the mirror and said, what? I don't know anything about pageantry, and I started to immediately, you know, discount what I was being inspired to go. And I thought, oh my goodness. And then the voice kind of came back and said, you've been praying and you want to reach the masses and you have a message to share. How do you think you're going to do that if every time we give you an answer, you discount it and say, no, I don't think that's the right way? So I said, okay, and I went forward with that, and I looked into it and found out that I could compete, and I won 2 out of 3 categories. I won the lifestyle and fitness competition, and I won interview. And there was some kind of discrepancy with the scoring system. I mean, there was a lot of people upset because I didn't even make top 5, which was strange. And there was directors in the audience for other systems calling me saying, come do our pageant, you would have won our crown. And I said, no, thank you. I don't like the pageant thing. Well, I had a very different experience the second time around. I decided to do a completely different system, which was international, so it was on a bigger scale. And my husband is Flathead Indian, tribe to the Flathead Reservation in Montana. He owns land there, and so that gave me the opportunity to compete for Mrs. Montana International. And so we move around a lot, mostly on the western side of the United States for my husband's work. And so people always ask, well, how are you Mrs. Montana when you're in California? Well, now I'm in Utah. And it's like, well, this is why. So I went ahead and I competed for that. I won. And so now I'll be Mrs. International. Well,
all right.
So I'm projecting.
Now, Kimberly, I know that the despair that you experience is not something that you really you don't want to go into, I mean, in detail. And it is, you know, and I'll just tell our listening audience, it's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
And I appreciate why you don't want to go into that. But As you were telling your story, you called out the role of spirituality, and then you called out, of course, this voice and how it prepared you. Are you suggesting to us that this despair was a necessary part of preparing you to share your message, to, you know, for all intent and purposes, be a living, what, example of the Phoenix rising?
You know, I have to say yes. I look back in hindsight, and when I see everything I've gone through and all the people that I've helped, I just can't say any other thing than absolutely, because now it is all worth it. Now, I don't take any of it back. I don't ever want to go through it again, but I don't take 1 minute of it back because of where I am today. I would not be here without those experiences.
You know, I've written a lot about forgiveness, and you know that. You've read some of my works and worked with my material, and I feel that is a critical element to personal empowerment. As far as I'm concerned, as long as you're blaming anyone for anything, you've effectively tied yourself up. You've disempowered your own franchise. You know, it's not my fault. It's us, da-da-da. But at the same time that I teach that and share that, there are things that I really have difficulty, still to this day. I mean, I think of a scoutmaster that literally stole my son's hat and played, some kind of a switcheroo game with him and didn't have the dignity to apologize to him when it was called out in front of him, and the members of his staff were embarrassed and ashamed. So there's this. I don't want to admit that there's any enmity there, but there is still, I think about that one. How did you do? I mean, what you went through, see, to me, it seems like it's so easy to forgive it when it's done to you compared to when it's done to one of your loved ones. And your son Dylan experienced the hardship of a lot of that. How have you done with the forgiving process?
I will be honest. It is something that I have to do all the time. I don't think it's a one-time occurrence. And when I struggle with it, I have to get into that feeling place of the individual that I'm having a hard time forgiving. I have to get into that place where I think, if I were them, what was it in my life that happened that led me to this, to where I reacted this way to this individual? So I have to first disconnect myself from the problem. And then I have to get real still and real clear, and I have to put myself in the shoes of the person that I'm having a hard time forgiving. And just think about all the things that they must have gone through in their life or the experiences that they had that put them in that place to have that kind of a desire, and how sad, and how sad is that? And when I do that, the judgment goes away, and I stop judging them, and I start to have pity, and sometimes I have compassion. That's always better than pity, because then you're truly forgiving and you can really feel that you're letting go.
Yeah. I so totally agree with you that I believe forgiveness is a journey. I'm not sure that it has an end destination. You know, I want to talk to you when we come back. We have a hard break coming up. I want to talk to you about the process by which you really overcame these things, because, I mean, you and I have discussed your history. So, I mean, you had issues of self-esteem. You've already, admitted that there was this codependent nature of your relationship. You referred to it as mind programming, but it's the typical abusive kind of situation where, you get to feel that you deserve the abuse, or maybe it will be different next time, and all that stuff. We want to pick that up when we come back, and discuss that and how you did make that breakthrough.
Okay.
All right. For everyone out there, you're listening to Provocative Enlightenment on Hay House Radio. My guest today is a truly remarkable person, Mrs. Montana, Kimberly Gingras. And we're discussing overcoming obstacles and realizing your dreams. If you're on my website, be sure and check out her picture, her story. It's there on the front page. You won't want to miss what's coming up in the next half of hour of our show, so be sure to stay tuned. We'll be right back after these words from some of our friends.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, we're discussing with Mrs. Montana, Kimberly Jean Gross, overcoming obstacles and realizing your dreams. But before we get back to today's show, I want to invite you to like our Facebook fan page for Provocative Enlightenment Radio. As a fan of the show, you receive special announcements and incentives from time to time as our way of thanking you for your support. I would also like to invite you to join me on Facebook while you're there, and of course you can follow me on Twitter. Also, I will be keynoting the Mind Body Spirit Fair in Spokane, Washington on June 4th, and I'd love to have you join me. The theme this year is Breaking the Spell, Regaining Our Personal Power. For details, contact the Spokane Holistic Chamber of Commerce, or for that matter, you can contact my office. If you can make it, please stop by. I'd love to meet all of you in person. Okay, let's get back to the show. Before the break, we were discussing, you know, how Kimberly actually raised herself from this, you know, despair. I guess I look for a good word, and some of them aren't even words I want to use. So I'll just call it despair. But Ravinder during the break pointed out to me something that I think is also very valid. And Kimberly, that's this. You're an absolutely knockout woman, excuse me, but I mean, you are gorgeous woman, and yet you go ahead, Rav, you share with Kimberly what you said to me. It's better that you ask this question, I think.
No, I think that's it. You are incredibly beautiful, but as you recounted the story to me yesterday, it's pretty amazing to me that it would be possible for anyone to think otherwise about you. I mean, you do look fabulous, but all the programming you had in your childhood or your upbringing had you thinking that you weren't good looking
at all.
And you ended up working with one of Eldon's Inner Talk programs. If you could share that story with our listeners, I think they would really enjoy that.
Yes. Well, it all started with my son and trying to get answers for him, which led to his rediagnosis. And in trying to get answers, I took personal development courses at the local university. I learned about human behavior. I learned about personality types. And it was news to me. I had never understood or been introduced to this information before in my life. When I went to my kinesiology classes to get certified, that was education building upon the last. So at this point, I was about 80% clear on all the issues because I had awareness. However, I did not have the tools to go, okay, so I'm going to fix it this way, or I'm going to change it that way. And so I got remarried, and my husband, who is such a sweetheart, really helped me through all this because he could see it, and he was trying to help me see it. And he also made it very clear to me how offended he was when, you know, I was getting dressed. If I saw my image in the mirror, I would just make a negative comment. And he finally just told me, you need to stop doing that. You offend me when you do that because I chose you. And I thought, oh my goodness, I never thought of it that way. And so that helped me to stop being negative. So in the same year, we kind of had triple whammies on our family. So my children, my husband, and myself. And what that was that my children had just been sexually abused by their grandma and uncle on my ex-husband's side. I was in a year court battle over that. They were doing horribly in school. It affected them academically. They just needed to be loved and not, you know, any education or anything else thrown at them. My daughter was two grade levels behind, and my son, you know, already has special needs and is in special education. So all those things combined, I decided to homeschool them. Okay, so that's their issue going on. My issue is I'm still dealing with all the crap, lack of a better word, from my previous marriage and trying to become that whole person again, seeking the answers and trying to improve upon who I am and find myself again. I could not walk from my lawn chair to across the other side of the pool. I felt completely ridiculous, and I felt naked. I mean, I'm in a swimsuit, so I halfway am. However, I could not have a straight posture and have confidence in my stride. And my best friend even bet me lunch one time to see if I could do it, and I totally failed. I just didn't feel like who I was in my own skin was good enough, and that had a lot to do with the programming from my previous marriage. So that's my story. is where I was at in that year. My husband, his story was that he had always managed retailers for a different company in the summertime for a different program. And
can I interrupt just a second?
Yes.
Please. You were talking about your own story and the fact that in your swimsuit you were incapable of walking across, by the pool.
Yes.
But after working with one of Eldon's Inner Talk programs, you actually had a totally different experience during the pageant itself. And that was, it was the contrast between that I found absolutely fascinating.
Yes, and I was going to tell you all three and then tell you what programs I used of Eldon's. But yes, if you want me to focus on that one, I'd love to. I was going through the pageant, and every day leading up to it, I was just dreading the swimsuit portion. I thought, oh my gosh, I can't even do it at the pool. How am I going to do it on stage with spotlights? And I'm the only one on the stage, so there's no distractions. All eyes on me. And I'm being judged on top of it. I listened to Firm Body twice a day, every day while I was at work. I put it into the computer so I could listen to it. I played it while I was in the car driving, or I would play it while I was cleaning the house. And I just basically had thought, okay, if anything can do it quickly, it's going to be this. And I listened to it faithfully, and when it came down to it, and I had to walk on the stage, even the day of, I was paranoid. But as soon as I was in my turn in line, and they announced my name, and I entered the stage, I had this overcoming pleasure and just excitement and joy that just radiated through the crowd and just said confidence, just said, this is fun, I like this. This is me. I am no longer the Kim that used to be. I am Kimberly Gingras. I am, Mrs. Montana. And I went forward, and I posed, and I did my walks, and I noticed my stride started to slow down because I started to savor every moment on the stage. I had so much fun that I didn't want it to end. And when it was over and it was my turn to exit the stage, I desired to come back on so bad. Of course I didn't. But I wound up winning Lifestyle and Fitness. And that was huge. So that I give credit to Firm Body because I did everything I could to the point of awareness and understanding why my programming was such. But I was kind of missing that lack of just getting over that hump and feeling that confidence and turning on that switch that said, okay, now you're different. Now you are waking to remembrance of who you really are, and these things are okay, and you need to love yourself.
You know, it's quite different, Kimberly, to have an intellectual understanding of something and to actually integrate that something as a belief, where it comes from the inside out. And that's what you're describing. It comes from the inside out. Before Ravinder cut you off, you were about to tell a story about your son. What was that?
This one was, my husband was the one I was seeing next.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, your husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that one was that he is, all of his, career, he has been running companies for other people in other states, getting them going, being taken advantage of, not being paid what he's worth. And this particular summer when I was trying to overcome this issue of my own body image and trying to help my children with their stress in school and with overcoming abuse of their own from my in-laws, I came across your work through a dear friend, Rebecca Hintze, and she sent emails about your work, and I looked into it, and I went through and used my kinesiology to pick what worked for us. For my children, for stress in school, we played that one, Inner Talk Stress in School, every day. We played it while we were homeschooling. We played it while they earned time for video games. We muted the video game music because it's annoying anyways. And we would play Inner Talk. Before they go to bed at night, I would play it because I had the notion in my mind, which Ravinder told me that this is actually correct, I learned yesterday, is that if I could get it as much as I can in the day that they can hear it, then it will have more of an impact. And I was hoping for more of a drastic change. And so that's what we did for them. And then my husband, I ordered Powerful Salesperson, the 4-CD set. And he, the reason I ordered that for him is because he was not a salesperson. He was the installer, and he was the manager of the technician team. And when we went out to that summer program, the company we were working for, who promised us a team, fell through. No one showed up. We had no one. And we were out there, moved our family out there, hired some technicians for these cells that were supposed to be coming in, and there was nothing. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? And we went to a little bit of panic for a little while, and then we pulled ourselves together and said, okay, what are we going to do? And my husband said, I got to go out and sell. And I'm like, but you don't sell. You don't know how to sell. But he went out there, and he started to do it, and I said, okay, well, how can I help you? So I ordered Powerful Salesperson, the CD pack. I don't think that's what it's called, but that's the one that rings the bell the most out of the pack. And he listened to it faithfully, and then he wound up getting other friends that we met there that were with a different company just for the fun of it because they liked to hang out. They would get together, and they would listen to it together because they were also salespeople but for a different company. And so to this day, there's all kinds of, you know, inside jokes about it and stuff because that's when he kind of got the kick out the door to start a new career. And what happened with all of this is that to this day, my children have a love of learning. My daughter's caught up to where she needs to be academically. My son has made drastic improvements in his IEP, which is an individual education plan for special education. And they just desire to learn. Like, they hated it before, and now they just love it. This really helped. We used to have bullying issues, friendship problems, all kinds of stuff. Don't have that anymore. My husband, what it transformed for him was something that we didn't expect, and that is that he just began his own retailer. And no more working for other companies and having them fall through for us or come short on income or whatever it be, all the different problems that we experience. He is now his own boss, running his own show, hiring his own team. And I absolutely credit it to, you know, Inner Talk and everything that we went through in that 1 year, the three, because we had three different programs going on, but the four of us all together, it was just transformational. And it has everything to do with me winning the title of Mrs. Montana, me accomplishing being in a swimsuit, and in that moment of being in that swimsuit, realizing that this has nothing to do with a judge, with an audience, with an opinion about me, with any kind of a title or a crown. This only has to do with Kimberly. And I did it.
You did. And you genuinely did do it. And it is a remarkable story. Now, you do a lot of public speaking. And actually, I mean, you're judging beauty shows now. If I have read your itinerary or upcoming itinerary correctly. So you become a spokesperson. You become an individual who, for all intent and purposes, is an icon to anyone that has had to deal with the kind of trauma and tragedy that you've had in your life and has lost faith or hope. So you would be totally up to taking a few phone calls and sharing some of your wisdom, wouldn't you not?
That would be great.
All right. Well, we have questions from our chat room and we have questions on the line. So let's go to the phones for a moment. On line one, we have Elaine from Connecticut. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Elaine.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Indeed, our pleasure. What can we do for you today?
Well, I was inspired by hearing, I'm loving listening to Kimberly, and her voice is soothing, and, you know, the way she turned things around. And I related to something that she said because, you know, this big transformation seemed to happen out of the blue when she got that message that she didn't expect to get. You know, she didn't think to herself, oh, I'll go be in a pageant. It just sort of popped into her head that that's what she would do.
Yes.
And then that led her on to probably really sounds like to me and feels like to me sending her on her way for her role, you know, for being reborn in every way for herself and her family. And I just wanted to share that something kind of similar happened with me. Because I was also in a situation that was damaging to self-esteem in that I feel like it was very abusive. This is when I was quite young. And I tried to be kind of, I didn't know what to do. You know, you do lose faith. You lose your understanding of what truth is and things like that a little because it's traumatic, you know, to be with someone who's abusive. And I remember being really trying to reorganize my thoughts about who I was spiritually and who God is and things like that. And I remember kind of going into a real relaxed state And this is what started me on my transformation. I heard this voice say, and I pictured as though I was kind of hovering over a brook, you know, with water. Mm-hmm. And I heard a voice say, "Don't be like the water, be the water." And then I started to feel myself get, you know, move like water moves, you know, over rocks and through, you know, the way it winds around and does fluid things that people don't feel like they can do. And that was so, it was so amazing when that happened, because I started to get mentally unstuck in a situation that I felt completely trapped in. And then other things happened, like dreams and things like that, that led me out. But I just wanted to share that because I was really inspired by what Kimberly said, where this message seemed to come out of the blue. And it's so enriching to hear.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Elaine. You know, while we're on that subject, before we go to another phone call or another question, your blog, Kimberly, opens with a remark, and I'm going to quote it. "Autism, abuse, addiction, cancer, heart attack, and obesity all share a common denominator. What do you believe they share in common, and why?"
Well, what it is malfunctions in our brain and body chemistry. So what that means is that our heart and our mind don't want the same thing. Our spirit and our physical body don't want the same thing. So they're in conflict with each other. And they're in conflict because they feel that it's meeting their needs. They're getting something out of it. So every ailment and behavior and diagnosis, whatever it be, in a spiritual realm, we believe that that is serving our needs, serving something that's not getting met otherwise. It's a lie. And when you call out the lie and you replace it with truth, then the body then has the ability to start healing itself. I mean, our bodies were made to heal themselves. So if it's not happening, then that's where we need to turn and where we need to look. And I am a firm believer that everything was created spiritually before it ever manifested physically. So if that's true, then what we need to first look at is the spiritual emotional aspect of what we're dealing with. And sometimes we can't tell what that is. All we see is the physical. But when you really get in deep, whether it's through meditation or through inner talk is a great tool for that. What are you drawn to? You know, when you go through the catalog, what are you drawn to? What stands out to you? Because there's going to be some truth in there. We deal with that, then our body now has the ability to start fixing itself. And I have experienced that in my own life, as well as assisting my son in his healing progress as well.
You know, I love the metaphor, you know, when the heart and the mind are at cross purposes. That's a Native American metaphor. You're married to a Native American.
Oh, probably, I didn't know that.
You know, it's a very strong Native American metaphor,
okay.
Right? The spirit and the body, you know, when they're in conflict with one another, how, I mean, short of a voice, as you and Elaine have experienced, how is it that we come to know that, you know, there is a conflict between what our body wants to do and what our spirit wants to do? I mean, when I think of that, I think about all the no, don't taboos, you know, that are out there that have to do with how you touch your body or what parts of your body are dirty, or, you know, the book of Leviticus and so forth. So, but how do we really know? How do we clear that, and how do we discover it?
Well, for me, it's an easy answer that is not for something that everybody can say, and that is because I do kinesiology, I can muscle test and get right to the root cause to see what's going on, why is it happening, let's fix that, and then the symptoms will just take care of themselves. So that's my answer. I mean, that's immediate. That's what I do. For someone that does not have the ability to practice kinesiology, meditation, first of all, is a great deal, but you first have to be aware that there's a problem, and you have to want to change it. And in doing that, then all humility will start kicking in, and you will go inside, and you will find what needs to be fixed, because we have the answers to everything inside of us. If we didn't, then there would be no reason to ever do kinesiology, because we wouldn't have, you know, anything to ask in order to receive answers. So there's one way. The other part is that God is merciful. That's why we're still here. I mean, that's why, you know, life just keeps dishing up the same scenarios, maybe in a different way, because we haven't gotten the lesson yet. We have not received that lesson. And so life just keeps dishing up the same experience over and over, and Rebecca Hinsey calls it Groundhog Day. And sometimes for some individuals, it I am so tired of it. You know what? This keeps happening over and over again in my life. And it's time to look at it. So some people, that might take them 50 years. Some people, it might take them 5 months. You know, it depends on the individual and how willing they are to be humble and to be willing to change, to have that desire, that want to look at the truth and to call it out.
You know, I've often thought of that as, you know, life is a lesson, and some of the lessons we just don't get very quickly. And so we get substitute teachers. And unfortunately, maybe my experience with substitute teachers jades me some, but they tend to be a lot worse than the first teacher. So it becomes progressively more difficult. But while we're on that subject, while we're on the subject of your blog, you also state, quote, "I'm not in the pageantry for the glitz and glamour. I'm in it to reach as many individuals as possible to start changing their lives and wake them up to a greater possibility of wholeness. So anything I give out will have a message of wholeness attached to it." What do you mean by wholeness?
Well, that has everything to do with that individual. Everybody is different. We are still the same, but at the same time so different with what we're dealing with in life. And for one person, that message of wholeness might have to do with obesity. For somebody else, it might have to do with their child that is autistic and they are pulling their hair out because that child's throwing a fit and saying, "I will continue to do this till I get my needs met, and you must figure that out for me, Mom." You know, it's going to be a different message of wholeness for different people. And boosting brain activity really is an umbrella that just kind of encompasses and hugs over a lot of different aspects of life. And that's why it talks about diagnosis and ailments and behaviors and addictions and whatnot. And so, again, that message of wholeness is going to be different for each person. And my goal is to try and gather as much as I can under that umbrella so that no matter what someone's coming to the table with, whatever their issue is or their hardship in life, that the message in boosting brain activity, they will find what aspect of boosting brain activity is for them, and they will grasp hold of that, and in turn, that will change their lives. That is my goal. That is my desire.
That's good. Now, could I restate that, and in fairness, would it be fair, therefore, to say it is the integration or the harmony between the mind, body, spirit, heart, and what was the other term that you used?
The
heart and the mind, the spirit and the body, the integration and the harmony between all of that, right?
Yes,
okay. Now, listen, we only have a less than a minute, so I'm going to ask you to give your website so everybody can go read your blogs, take a look at who you are, and tell us how the audience might be able to support you. Do that, if you will, in like 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, my blog is boostingbrainactivity.com. And when you go there, if you scroll down on the right, there's a link to click on follow. If you can click on follow, that would help me tremendously. And just visit it often, as hopefully it can change your life. That would be great.
Okay. Now, and when they follow you, how does that help you?
Well, I am constantly in pursuit of sponsorship. And the more people following me, the more exposure to my sponsors, that the companies my sponsorship will receive. And with that, every sponsor that I get will have to do with my platform. I'm not looking for the gas station to sponsor me. I'm looking for people that have to use mind programming and healing and wholeness and awareness. And if I can say one last thing, the bottom line is all, when people find this awareness, it's forgiveness of self and others that starts the process of boosting brain activity.
Kimberly, I've loved having you on the show. Thank you very much. We hope everybody that is listening today has enjoyed the show and will join us again same time, same place next week. If you have comments, be sure to see that we get them. Until I speak with you again, remember, believing in yourself always matters.